Welcome to Pro Wrestling .net Live. I'm Jason Powell. I will be joined momentarily by my co-host Will Pruitt of ProWrestling.net, and we will be taking your calls coming out of the WWE Survivor Series and NXT War Games events that were held over the weekend in Los Angeles, California. The number to join us today is 773-897-6321. If you're on hold already and you want to ask a question, hit 1 on your phone to let me know that you hope to join us on this show. And before we bring Will on board, Will, you're going to have to remind me via DM. I forgot what your area code is again. Yes, I'm that bad. It's been a while. But I want to encourage everybody to check out my weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. It's on a different feed if you're hearing this on the usual ProWrestling.net feed. You can check it out at pwboom.com. We've had interviews with NWA champion Nick Aldis, WWE Hall of Famer Jim Ross, B. Brian Blair, Dave Lagana of the NWA, Court Bauer of MLW, Jerry Lynn, Dr. Britt Baker, Tom Lawler, and many more. All you have to do is search Pro Wrestling Boom on Apple Podcasts or pretty much any platform where you get your podcasts, and you will find the Pro Wrestling Boom audio show. As for the Survivor Series event, I thought it was carried to a B-grade thanks to those last two matches with Brock Lesnar against Daniel Bryan and Ronda Rousey against Charlotte Flair. And if I can find Will, we will bring him on board. And I can, because he did let me know what his area code is. So I can bring Will on board, and we'll find out what he thought about Survivor Series. But before we do that, Will, I have to ask you a very important question. Since we last did a show together, you became a father for the first time, and you also hung out in my living room. Which was a more monumental moment in your life?
I mean, the living room was a delightful experience. However, I am pacing around my living room because it's the only way that my two-month-old daughter will sleep. And so I would say that the becoming a father probably changed my life more.
Just nudges it out, right?
Yeah, just barely. It's really close. I mean, it really could change any time now.
I am still looking to figure out what is missing from my home because I just assumed that you took something, but I don't know what it is. So it can't be anything too important. Yeah, I don't know what. But, hey, what did you think of, we'll start with Survivor Series.
I thought Survivor Series was a really good show, especially once you got down to those last two matches. I was shocked by the quality of both Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte and Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan. I went into those two matches thinking, all right, this is just Survivor Series. It is what it is. And I left those two matches going, I want to rewatch this show again.
Yeah, at least I don't know if I'd want to go back and watch the entire show again, but I would certainly be down for, if time permitted, watching those last two matches again.
Did you see how many times Shane jumped off of tall things?
Well, there was that. Jake and I last night in the members' audio kind of assumed you'd be pretty excited about that.
What I liked about that is they really took Shane McMahon down to his essence in that match. He jumps off of tall things. They didn't have him really do anything else. They just said, all right, well, here's another big move you can do. And it was peak Shane McMahon. He is, as we know, the best in the world.
We'll get to Shane in a second. When it comes to those last two matches on Survivor Series, what did you have getting the nod for the better of the two?
I just barely give that nod to Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey, and part of that could be the surprise factor. I did not think that match would feature those two women going as hard as they did against each other. That was a surprise from the beginning when you saw how physical and how brutal Charlotte and Ronda were. And then you add in the beating at the end. And I know DQ endings aren't for everyone, but if there was ever a time to do a DQ ending, it was when a match that could main event WrestleMania had to be thrown together with 5 days notice because of an injury. You probably want to go to a DQ ending if you can there. And this, to me, was a justified one and a really great one. The crowd reacted well to it. I think the biggest issue WWE has right now is they got to put Ronda Rousey out in front of a Los Angeles crowd again tonight, and she was not reacting well to not being cheered at the end of the night last night.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how they handle that.
You're not a man.
Well, we had a poll last night, as we always do after the WWE pay-per-view events, asking people to grade the show and vote for the best match. And 46% agree with you that Rousey and Flair was better. That led the show. And then 32% went with Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan. I leaned Bryan and Lesnar only because of the finish, even though I agree it was the right finish to go with a DQ there rather than a decisive clean finish. So, but I just, you know, when it comes down to my personal enjoyment of it, yeah, I like the good clean finish, even though in a perfect world, Daniel Bryan would have been a babyface and David would have beat Goliath again. But hard to go wrong. It was two strong matches, and I think Rousey and Charlotte is the one that's going to have the staying power. That's the one people are going to remember coming out of this show, more so than, hey, Brock Lesnar wins again, even though it was a really well-worked match. The Charlotte problem you mentioned, and we'll get to those phone calls here in just a second, 951, you were waiting, and we will get to you shortly. Anyone else? It's 773-897-6321, and just remember to hit 1 on your phone if you're in listen mode. That way we know you want to join in on the conversation and you're not just in listen-only mode. But Rhonda, so, Will, what is it that people dislike about her? Because she's come in from UFC, and she said she was going to be full-time, and while it hasn't been, you know, go on the road every weekend necessarily full-time, she's worked a hell of a lot more full-time than I think any of us imagined she was going to, and she's been really freaking good in the ring. She's yet to disappoint in a match. So what is it? Why did the L.A. crowd turn on her?
I mean, as a public persona, Ronda Rousey is problematic at best. But I think in WWE, they just picked Becky to like more, and Charlotte's getting the rub from Becky. But if you look at Nikki and Ronda, no one was booing Ronda Rousey in the feud with Nikki Bella. The Bella twins were booed in that feud. And that's, you know, Ronda, for the most part, has had feuds and matches like that where people cheer for her against her opponent. I think when it's the same Roman Reigns type of symptom where you're getting people taking what is the quote-unquote chosen one and deciding to dislike them no matter what they do. We even saw it a little bit with Charlotte against Becky when Becky first turned and people started booing Charlotte. Now Charlotte does this brutal beatdown. It should be heelish. It should be awful. And people really love it because they really love those sorts of displays of emotion. And I don't think the crowd is necessarily turning on Ronda as much as they're saying, nope, no, we're about Becky here.
Did the millennial comments hurt? She had the promo about the millennial man.
They were annoying.
Well, you're a millennial man. I mean, just, you know, by age,
I've
demographic, and all that. Say again?
I've heard this, yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, hey, you're a male and you're a millennial. So, Jake brought this up on the show last night. Look, you're sitting in Staples Center with an audience filled with people in that age demographic. That couldn't have helped the cause. Do you feel like it was much of a factor, or was this inevitable?
Inevitable, I think, is a little bit strong. I don't know that it was destined to happen. I mean, at some point, Ronda will be a heel in her run, and honestly could be a great one if she wants to be.
I agree.
I think those comments were just short-sighted in a way that's really weird. I think it was WWE kind of having that audience of one in Vince McMahon, who probably, like his friends, the President of the United States, sits around watching cable news all day and watches imbeciles on Fox News complain about millennials killing every industry that's not an avocado. And he probably goes, yeah, this is what the common man thinks, and decided to make that a promo, despite the fact that while WWE's average viewing age on cable television is in the 50s, WWE sees a lot of social media interaction and a lot of money spent from millennials. I think it's probably a lot of millennials that are propping up those major wrestling weekends like they're doing in Staples Center this weekend, because it's a generation that is starting to have some money and be able to afford to, say, travel a few times a year to see wrestling or, you know, do things like that. And I think they're really short-sighted. And, I mean, you know, it's just weird. It's the weirdest stuff. Ronda, add that to Ronda Rousey's social media presence recently. She's a weird one.
Well, I mean, okay, so she is hands-on when it comes to the scripting of her promos. When it comes to the wording and things, ultimately, yeah, Vince is going to have final say. And so if he was you'd think he'd be like, hey, let's not go after a demographic that is going to show up at this pay-per-view. Because if you look in the crowd, there's like, I don't know how old, you know, I don't know that Simon necessarily, the guy that shows up at every show with his mom. His mom's not a millennial. Enzo Amore was not a millennial. We'll talk about him, I'm sure. But you look around that crowd.
I hope not.
Lots and lots of millennials in that crowd. And so, yeah, I don't think, like, that was the breaking point necessarily, but I don't think it helped matters. I think it is. She was opposed. She was basing Becky Lynch originally, and they went at it pretty heavily on social media, on television, everything else, and then it switched to Charlotte. And I think the crowd was just kind of ready for Ronda to kind of be, I don't know, put in her place, knock down a peg. Can it end here, though? I mean, I wondered whether they should have her on television tonight. They may see it as a challenge. I might just wait to get out of Los Angeles and do it elsewhere. But you do have Nia Jax, who's extremely unpopular right now with the fans. You have Stephanie McMahon, who always gets booed. So is there a way to even spin the L.A. crowd in her favor tonight? Or does this result in, no, they're just going to boo all three of them if they're in the ring together?
I think if they're in the ring together, say if you get a Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey segment tonight, the crowd is going to boo both of them and chant for Becky.
Ouch.
But I don't know how you fix that. I don't know how you even get over that, given that Becky's on SmackDown, so probably wouldn't be appearing anyways. But Becky almost, I would never say that the injury is a blessing, but Becky got out of that without jobbing to Ronda. She got to talk all the trash, got the visual of beating her down, even though she was bloodied, and in the end, walks away from it right now without having to job to Ronda, without having to actually get beat, which is what would have happened last night. How do fans not keep cheering Becky at this point and not keep cheering for her when they haven't seen that confrontation that I'm sure a lot of fans now are going, okay, WrestleMania? That should be the WrestleMania match.
I wonder what they're going to do there. They have some match possibilities. I mean, originally, obviously, Charlotte and Rousey was the plan. Then it looked like they're shifting to Becky and Rousey. Now, all of a sudden, Charlotte's in this mix as well. Could be a triple threat. We will see. Let's bring a caller on board here. We'll certainly be talking more about this, Enzo, and TakeOver as we work our way through. But 310, you are on the show as soon as it lights up. There we go. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
How's it going, guys? This is Tom. How you doing?
Doing great, Tom. Where are you calling from today?
Los Angeles. Are you able to hear me? Sorry, I actually just cut out for a second. Are you able to hear me?
Yep, I'm hearing you loud and clear. Hey, Tom,
cool.
From Los Angeles. That's right. Good to hear from you again.
Cool. Yeah, guys. So I thought that was a funny comment to say Vince and Trump. I think I didn't used to fully understand Vince until Trump became president of the United States, and now every crazy thing I ever thought about Vince, I realize is probably true. but I think, guys, we can all say that the good news is in these times where you don't know whether someone's a heel or a face, at least WWE has actually shown us that kicking someone in the balls makes you a heel. That's the only thing. That is Shinsuke Nakamura, Daniel Bryan, in all of these times of being Charlotte can break someone's neck and we don't know whether she's a face or a heel. At least we always have the old kick. We always have the kick for the balls, which is apparently allowing us to actually do that. So anyway, I actually thought the show was pretty good. And I actually wanted to talk about one thing that I think was a concern that I took away from the show. And it plays a little bit on kind of what you guys are talking about, which is the fans aren't necessarily cheering or booing the performers. They're kind of booing the company they're there to see and booing the decisions that they've made. And thus there's so much knowledge on kind of what happens behind the scenes at this point, and it's so transparent what they're actually doing that I think fans are able to just boo the company making choices, and it kind of manifests itself in the people they actually boo. And I think my worry with the Charlotte turn yesterday was Charlotte is very similar to Reigns in the sense that I think McMahon really wants to push her and really wants her to be the top star. And my concern with what happened yesterday was he clearly thinks that there is he's kind of settled into this. It's not the individual performer that is breaking through. It is the formula and the company that are. And just what he did with Charlotte yesterday was exactly kind of the type of things that started to get Becky over. And what I'm worried about is that is he going to attempt to kind of get Charlotte over in a similar way and ruin what this Becky thing has right now? Because I'm very curious to see, and I would not be stunned if they don't handle this well, how you now kind of take two characters in Charlotte and Becky on the same show where Rousey will not be around, and have them essentially play what appears to be the same exact character, despite the fact that you know Becky plays it significantly better. So I think that was kind of the first one. And then the main event, I thought, it was both.
Well, you know what?
So
do you mind if we take that one first?
Of course.
Because I do tend to be a little forgetful. So let's start there, because that's a very interesting topic. Will, when it comes to what they're doing here with Charlotte and Becky, I just think Becky is so popular, and they're going to be able to frame this with Charlotte in a way where she's clearly the heel, and I don't know that the fans are going to have to pick sides. I mean, you may get some heel-loving fans in there, but I don't think you're going to have many at all. I really think that if Becky is back and she's back soon, they're going to be able to kind of recast this the way we all were telling them they should, with Charlotte as the heel and Becky as the babyface.
I don't know if they go back to the Charlotte and Becky feud when Becky comes back. I don't know that feud is necessarily where they should go. Why would they? They sort of buried the hatchet with Becky picking Charlotte, and, you know, Charlotte gave the big "I'm fighting for Becky" speech, which is not a heel speech. You know, even if you want to say the turn happened at the end of the match, I don't know a heel that's going to say "I'm fighting for the biggest babyface in the company." Then that's Becky, especially Becky after she got hurt. I think you just go completely away from them as feuding with each other and try and keep them on the same show and try and keep them coexistent. Or maybe you have, you know, maybe you do a big post Survivor Series trade and you get Charlotte over there to feud with Rousey. Maybe Ronda demands it. Stephanie can't do anything because Ronda said she's going to hold the show hostage. Shane knows he has to shake things up after getting swept at Survivor Series, and they make a big trade to send Charlotte back to Raw, and you have Becky be the class of the SmackDown Women's Division then without Charlotte standing in her way. Those are kind of my ideas on that, but I want to push back against one thing, and that is that fans are, you know, that fans are paying to see WWE just to boo WWE. NXT has shown us that that's not exactly what's happening. Because you're getting the same crowd in the same city, same length of show, same production, same basically everything else. And the branding is just a little bit different at this point. It's not, you know, it's not massively different. But NXT is showing us people who are enthusiastic to cheer for and lean into the direction that those in charge of NXT, who are some of the major decision makers in WWE, we're seeing people cheer for the decisions they're making and then boo the decisions they make one night later. There's a bigger issue with the WWE brand than just fans are pushing back against it, just to be cool and just because it's the thing to do, because NXT has shown us that a WWE brand can be the brand of the people.
Oh, 100%. So what just to be clear, I was not saying people are buying to boo. What I was saying is right now, I think, use Reigns as an example. Was Reigns really that hateable? Was Reigns really did fans necessarily want to boo Reigns because of what because of the character that he was playing, or he was giving bad promos, or he said suffer and suck attack? No, I don't think so. Fans were booing a decision that they didn't respect and something that they felt was something they were not being listened to. So I think what I'm saying is that what you see with something like Charlotte or like Rousey is I think the fans at this point are smart enough to actually recognize when one of these Cena slash Reigns performers is starting to form in front of their eyes. And the reason I think it was inevitable Rousey was going to get booed is they see what happens with Lesnar. They see what happens with all of this stuff, right? They can, like, the moves are so predictable at this point that I think the fans are going to vocalize where they don't want the company to go at this point. They want it to look more like an NXT. They want it to look more like they cheer and say what actually comes out. So to be clear, I think you're 100% right. And just quickly, because I do need to jump off, I thought that the main event was fantastic. I was so torn on it for multiple reasons. One, anyone that knows what's happened with Bryan over the last 3 to 4 years and that didn't squirm in their seat when he took that first German and his mouth was quivering. I mean, I was sitting there like, he's concussed. How is he not concussed? So that took me out of the match for a bit. But I thought the story they told after that was kind of incredible, because if you look at the Lesnar matches, that was the blueprint for Lesnar's going to hit 3 more F5s and pin him. And they played on the fact that everyone thinks Bryan was going to get jobbed out by the WWE anyway. And the way that match turned towards the end, I think at this point, very rarely can you say, you know, that the losing actually does make someone look better. But I think that made Bryan look incredible. Would it have been amazing for him to tap out Lesnar? Do I think it would have been the better choice? I honestly can't say, because the part I'm torn on is that after seeing that match and seeing how fantastic that it was, I'm upset because, like, there are very few matches in the WWE left that are performers that can be defined as relatively in their prime that are marquee matches that no one has ever seen. And, like, God, can you imagine how good that match would have been at WrestleMania with a proper build rather than 4 days with Daniel Bryan in his right character and Brock coming off whatever, another 4 months of annoying people with wins and, like, have giving that match the proper time with the proper outcome. I mean, that match, it left me wondering what could have been, but what was still excellent, I thought.
Well, awesome call. I appreciate it. I know you said you had to hop off, but please call again. You always bring up some great topic, Tom, and it was definitely good to hear from you again. And, yeah, look, the Bryan and Lesnar thing could have been the ultimate David versus Goliath, had they chose to tell that story in a different way. They decided to race into it. We're not sure what's going on with AJ Styles. There's even more rumblings and suspicions that maybe it's contractually related, that, you know, AJ's deal is coming up here because he's been with it'll be, 3 years, I think, from when he debuted in the Rumble. My math could be off on that, but there's been more speculation than anything when it comes to that. Now, I mean, he's a guy that I think we've even said, if somebody wanted to work a Chris Jericho-like schedule and leave the company and take big money matches here and there and have a lot more downtime and still be very financially successful in the process, AJ's a guy who could pull that off between Japan, whatever Cody and the Bucks have going, and just working independently. Ring of Honor, I'm sure, would love to have him again. There's plenty that AJ Styles could do, but I don't want to get people too excited because he's advertised for SmackDown tomorrow. So I don't know exactly what's going on there with AJ, but fun to daydream about if nothing else. But when it comes to, I do want to jump back to Charlotte, Becky, Ronda, and all of that again, Will, because, and 859, you're up next. We'll get to you in just a moment. But I just looking at that whole scenario, I don't think, again, they're going to have a hard time getting Becky cheered if she comes back. I guess one minor concern is that the way this was done, like if something happened where, whoa, Becky's going to be out long term because of this concussion or something, they just don't know. They've kind of inserted Charlotte into a similar character, as Tom said. They could transition into, all right, we're going to use Charlotte as kind of the Becky surrogate and hope that works. But I don't think that's what's happening, because Charlotte is healing it up on social media. And so I just assume that when push comes to shove, she's going to cut a heel promo on SmackDown. And she may get some cheers, she may not. But when she, if and when she faces Becky, all is going to be right. I don't think they want to make her a babyface, Will. And the other part of it, too, is I wonder, you know, I know you said you don't want to see them wrestle again right away. I get that. But what if the idea is, let's get the title on heel Charlotte at the TLC show to free up Becky to go on to win the Rumble?
I think there's a way you can do that, even if you give Charlotte a lackey or two to help her out, maybe in the way, you know, I think about the way Shayna Baszler is currently defending the NXT women's title. I think you could do that with Charlotte. I don't necessarily think the right place to go right now is a Charlotte and Becky feud again. What if, this is a big what if they just took something out of the broken neck Steve Austin playbook and had Becky throw the title off a bridge?
Or she has, even if she's fine, Shane McMahon doesn't play by the same rules as Stephanie, so he can insult Raw and the way Brock Lesnar gets away with not defending the championship and say, hey, we don't play that here. You know, it's a 30-day window. May be something they have to ignore somewhere down the road. But for the time, I mean, if they want to, they can always make up their own rule on something like that. And then Becky doesn't have to lose, and Charlotte can win the championship as a heel, and you can always come back to Becky and Charlotte somewhere down the road. So, yeah, I think there's certainly ways that you can do it. Remember, the number to join us today, folks, 773-897-6321. And if you're on hold and you want to talk to us, hit 1 on your phone. That's what 859 did. 859, who is this? Where are you calling from?
It is .NET member Jay Moss from originally from Cincinnati, but checking in from New Bedford, Massachusetts right now.
How are you feeling, man? I know you've been having some medical issues.
Getting better slowly. I have surgery next week. I'm going to have some skin grafts done. If all goes well, I should be back in Oklahoma first week of December.
Wow, man. Well, I'm definitely in my prayers, and I'm happy you're able to call in today, and hope and best of luck with the surgery. But what's on your mind today?
Well, first off, I definitely agree with the last caller, Tom, I believe it was.
Yes.
I definitely agree that the main event was a good one. Could have been better if they'd have had time to build toward it. But what do you think they're going to do with the elimination matches? I mean, I got to believe that Shane is going to use that as an excuse to shake things up. I think you could see some trades coming off of this.
Some trades, Will, maybe even NXT call-ups.
Yeah, I actually really like the idea. I mean, not that Survivor Series should matter to anyone at all, aside from the fact that it is, I think now, WWE's most fun show of the year, in a way. They found a way, and it's funny because the old bragging rights concept didn't work in the 2000s, but now Survivor Series comes around, and every year it kind of feels like, yeah, let's do that. Raw versus SmackDown, this is fun. I would say they should do some trades. I like the idea of Shane coming off of that. I also could see this as kind of a move towards heel Shane McMahon, because it seems with him becoming the best in the world, like they're going in that direction of Shane McMahon, heel general manager, who probably gets his comeuppance at WrestleMania. That could be fun. That could all be really fun and a nice way to shake up a show with a lot of talent. SmackDown has more talent and has felt more cohesive to me than Raw. And in a lot of ways, that's just because they struck gold with Becky. Like, they struck absolute gold with Becky Lynch and are going, okay, this works, and going with it.
I'm not a fan when it comes to the bragging rights portion of it. I mean, because so much of it for me, it comes down to, it feels like the people who care most about this are two rich kids in Stephanie and Shane, rich adults now, but you know what I'm saying. And they're basically using the wrestlers as pawns in this game they have, to the point that now if he turns heel, it's fine. But Shane was going to fire someone at Crown Jewel if they lost to a Raw wrestler because he didn't want his sister having bragging rights. And there's just something about the concept that just seems off. I wish they would, if they're going to do it, they do things throughout the course of the year to be a little more consistent with there being tension between the two brands at the very least. But they don't, Will. That, I guess that's my issue. And I think your daughter just made her debut on .NET Audio.
Yeah, she is still being walked around the living room, but is actually waking up now, which is terrifying in a way.
So if you hear crying, it's not just me over the Vikings last night.
I am riding the mute button. So hopefully there won't be too much of a disruption. The Vikings last night. That's rough. You need to stop having Sunday night games on the day of pay-per-view.
Well, the good news is we just need to stop having Sunday night games so that we don't play well. And if, looking ahead, we have a bunch of night games coming up, including one against your Packers on Sunday. And then I know there's a Monday game in Seattle. Like, oh, man. I'm torn because I still think they're a quality team. But part of me is like, all right, if you're not going to make the playoffs, I'm obviously going to root for them too. I almost hope they like lose a bunch of games so they can get a third place schedule and rebuild the offensive line and be good next year.
You know who's not going to make the playoffs? My Packers.
J-Moss's
you got
Bengals?
Nothing to worry about. Them too.
Oh, ouch.
Sorry, J-Moss.
No one can lose a game like Mike McCarthy can lose a game.
This is true. Yeah, wow. He is on the hot seat. J-Moss, what
he
else did you have for us now that I've insulted your team?
Yeah, what were the topics again?
Considering that I had to watch the Steelers come from behind up here yesterday. But anyway, Braun Strowman and Baron Corbin, surely that's the main event of TLC next month, isn't it?
You know, I don't know about main event per se. I mean, I think it's going to be on the show because they haven't officially – I think they'll announce it tonight, but they haven't officially announced anything for TLC other than Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental Championship. But on the Arena website, they do have Strowman and Corbin listed and also Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax for the Raw Women's Championship. Now, sometimes those Arena pages advertising just switches because, well, Vince McMahon changes his mind a lot. But we know that Rollins and Ambrose is going to stick. And Strowman and Corbin, I would be surprised if it's not on that show. And I think you'll see all of, you know, well, not all, but some of these matches get some sort of TLC-type stipulation added to it as well. I should mention, too, by the way, that that show is December 16th in San Jose. So our next edition of ProWrestling.net Live will be the day after, Monday, December 17th. Remember, we are here live the Monday after Sunday WWE pay-per-view events, unless they involve women. If it's all women, then we don't have one. It just didn't work out last time. Honestly, folks, it wasn't because of that. I would have loved to have had one the day after Evolution. It just didn't really work out that well with Will being in town and all sorts of other issues and the Vikings playing that night. But I will be back. We'll have to check on Will's schedule and, more importantly, his daughter's schedule to see if the 17th works for him. But, that's where things stand right now, Will. I mean, of those three matches, is there anything that you don't expect to stick?
No, I think it will be those three. I don't know. I mean, it's disappointing that you're going to get another big pay-per-view, probably without a Universal Championship match. That seems to be where WWE really kind of gets in the Lesnar era. He doesn't show up to a lot of shows, and that's a bummer when that title should be defended, and it looks like we were just out of that era of things, and nope, we're back. Stupid cancer, but for so many reasons. I think those are the matches we get. I'm curious to see how Nia and Ronda gets played going into that match. That's going to be, a really interesting one, especially after they made Nia look so strong last night. And with them seemingly like leaning into Ronda, do you think there's any chance that Ronda loses the title there because she's so beat up, or loses the title before then because she's so beat up?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking with, I think it was Brian Fritz this morning, who told me that he thinks if they're ever going to have her drop the title, you could do it tonight. Like, she get, you know, she's the fighting champion, and she decides that she shouldn't be defending the title, but she's going to, dang it, and she loses because of it. So, yeah, I think there's a possibility. I don't know if they're in a hurry to take that title off her. Look, if they're thinking we need to get the title off her to get her into the Royal Rumble match so she can win, see Roman Reigns. Last night should make them rethink that potential strategy if it is something they were considering, because, yeah, you don't want to mess with over-pushing her. She's done a phenomenal job. I think just the fact that she's had really good matchups, really good match. I don't care that they're choreographed or any, you know, how much rehearsal time goes into it. I care about the final product, and she's doing a hell of a job. But I would be careful after, you know, given the events of the last 24 hours, to make sure that if they want her to be a babyface, that you don't just try to shove her down the throats of fans. That would be a mistake. J-Moss, do you have more, buddy?
One more thing that I would say is, or one more thing I guess is, do you actually, I think I just lost it, so that's all I've got. As you can tell, it's been a crazy 6 weeks for me, so I'm going to jump off here and just listen to the rest of the show. Y'all take care, and next time I talk to you, hopefully I'll be back in Oklahoma.
Very good, man, and please let me know. Shoot me an email if you could. Kind of give me an update with the Survivor Series and life being busy. I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to really check in, but I want to hear how you're doing and everything. So please, you know my email address. Let me know and give me a rundown of what's been going on. .NET member Jay Moss, great guy, and the official weather correspondent for my Beer League softball team. He's a I don't know if he's technically a meteorologist, but he's really, really, really good at weather stuff. And so if he tells me my game is going to be rained out, I know he's right. He's awesome at that kind of thing. Hey, now we have open phone lines, folks. So if you want to get in on the show, just call 773-897-6321 and then hit 1 on your phone. But we do have some email questions that came in because it's Monday and people work. So there's that whole thing going on. I was hoping with a holiday week we might get a bunch of calls with people being off. But there's probably a lot of people off. Just doesn't mean they want to sit around and listen to us on a Monday necessarily. But anyhow, before we get to the emails, I do want to give you guys a heads up. ProWrestling.net membership. You get access to the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. You also get over a decade of audio content. So if you enjoy this audio show, maybe you enjoy The Boom, some of the other free content that we put out there, the members get so much more. Tonight, they'll hear my audio review of WWE Raw. Last night, they heard Jake Barnett and I talk for over 60 minutes on Survivor Series. They'll hear my SmackDown audio review on Tuesday. NXT, Impact Wrestling, Lucha Underground, WWE 205 Live, and for some of the bigger events such as the Wrestle Kingdom show, audio reviews of the New Japan show as well. Just the list goes on of all the audio content available weekly. Of course, all the monthly big pay-per-view events are covered in audio form as well. My Q&A audio show normally takes place on Mondays if I'm not doing this live show. Anywhere from 40 to 60-some minutes of me answering questions from .NET members like Jay Moss, and also answering their non-wrestling questions in the second half of the show, which often leads to some insanity, and the Walking Dead questions of the week that we get from Assassin 5 from Parts Unknown. His name is Brad. I know where he's from. He's a Chiefs fan, so there's your hint. Good luck tonight if you're listening, Assassin. It's the membership. It just comes with all sorts of audio perks, and again, ad-free access to ProWrestling.net. If you are interested in membership, I'm going to make it really simple for you. Just visit PWMembership.net. PWMembership.net. And hey, makes a wonderful Christmas gift too, or Hanukkah gift, or Kwanzaa gift, whatever it is you're celebrating. Trust me, if you have a wrestling fan in your life, I think, and you think they dig it, chances are they're going to. But again, it's PWMembership.net. With the phone lines being open, we are going to switch to those email questions that came in. We'll start from Kevin from San Diego, who continues the football theme of the show by saying he is from the real home of the Chargers. I agree. I'm not, I know Will's an L.A. guy, but I think even Will agrees that the Chargers should be in San Diego. It's a shame that L.A. doesn't need two teams. The Rams are more than enough. But his first question, he says, when Nia Jax broke Becky Lynch's face and Jeremiah Crane, a.k.a. Sammy Callahan, broke Eddie Edwards' face with a baseball bat, why did so many wrestling fans want a public apology? That is a great question and an issue that I've been having in some of the comment pages and with emailers from people who I had one emailer just tell, you know, after explaining, like, my perspective on this has been Nia doesn't owe any fan an apology. She owed an apology to Becky Lynch, obviously, maybe management, maybe some of her peers. And when it comes to the company, look, I mean, you can say, well, should she be punished? Should she be demoted to NXT, whatever, all these things. Once they made the decision that we're moving forward with her as is, well, I think they have handled this beautifully. They're turning a negative into a positive. They're Nia Jax has mega heat right now. She's obviously going to have a match if everything sticks with Ronda Rousey. And I think that irritates the hell out of some people that she's kind of being rewarded for this. And I can understand that to a point. But the whole idea that she owes everyone some sort of public apology just doesn't make sense to me. What is she? I mean, as I asked someone, and this kind of ended the conversation, it seemed, with an emailer, did Seth Rollins owe everyone a public apology when Sting was injured in a match and John Cena took that knee to the face and Finn Balor was injured? Or is this just because we like him, it's okay?
Yeah, I, with Nia Jax, I'd just say stiff shots happen in wrestling. People hurt each other sometimes. When you're pretending to punch people in the face, sometimes you really punch people in the face. And it's happened to Seth Rollins. It's happened with Nia Jax. The Sammy Callahan, Eddie Edwards thing, I think is a different subject because Sammy was attempting to do something weird and dumb and something the company shouldn't have allowed with a baseball bat and a chair and all of that weirdness. But
that poorly laid out spot.
When things happen in the ring or in a big brawl like that, things happen. I assume WWE handles it however they're going to handle it backstage. They work to ensure the safety of the performers, especially, you know, I don't think anyone in WWE was happy to see Becky get hurt. They were going, oh, dear God, why? Because Becky is fire right now, to use a term that she uses often. She's amazing. Why would they want that? I assume that injury has been, or that situation with Nia has been dealt with backstage, and they're saying, we're not going to let this derail our creative plans as they were, but we're going to lean into it.
And then I'm going to ask, while we're getting a nice quiet moment with your daughter, I will skip to his third question, which is, do you guys recommend I buy the season pass for Lucha Underground seasons 3 and 4, or are 1 and 2 enough? And I defer to you because I don't keep up on Lucha Underground closely.
You know, I didn't watch season 3, but John Moore was really high on it. He said season 3 was good. I watched a decent amount of season 4, and I have to say, if you want to watch a whole season leading to Jack Swagger being their biggest star, go right ahead, but I would not advise it.
Oh, ouch, yeah. So, okay, I would say also, I mean, if you want a second opinion, definitely reach out to John Moore, Kevin, because he does cover every single episode for us and attends a lot of those tapings, sometimes with Will. So he can give you a good, maybe a counterpoint. Maybe he would agree with Will, Kevin, but definitely email John Moore. You can find his info at prowrestling.net. And then he also asks about Enzo Amore. He says apparently he's going by the name of N-Z-O, so Enzo. And he called him the world's lamest WWE fanboy. I wouldn't call him a fanboy, but I missed it last night, and I had all social media shut down because I wanted to avoid the score of the football game. I watched it at about 11 o'clock and after the pay-per-view was over and audio was done. So I completely missed it. I had people trying to tell me, Enzo did this, and then, yeah. So what happened was that he showed up at, you know, ringside in a seat on the main floor, and at one point stood up on his chair and started delivering his old WWE catchphrase. Clearly he's looking for publicity. He has a concert tonight at the Whiskey in Los Angeles. So I didn't even know he was going by Enzo. I knew he was going by Real One. That's kind of been his rap name. But, Will, I mean, they got him out of there in a hurry. I didn't even notice it. Now, granted, I'm trying to do a report, so I'm looking at my laptop and the TV back and forth. So it was quick. Does he, it was covered, but is this good publicity for Enzo?
I don't think so, but I don't think his goal is to get good publicity. His goal is for people to be saying his name. I want to know two things. One, how come he could get comps to the show and I couldn't? Two, how come you aren't sending me to that concert tonight, Jason?
Oh, is it too late? Would your daughter like to go?
She's not of concert-going age yet, but I'm pretty sure Christy, now that we haven't had time to plan it, would get a little mad at being abandoned at home.
That's true. I think tickets are only like $10 or something. So if anybody in the area goes, I would love a report. Yeah, if anyone's going, I would love a report on the Real One concert experience. Yeah, he's just looking for publicity. Obviously, he got kicked off a flight recently because he refused to stop vaping on the flight. And he just seems to be trying to get his name out there.
Hold on. No worse sentence can ever be said about a human being than they were kicked off of a flight because they refused to stop vaping on a flight. Like, that is some high-level debaggery right there. It's downright impressive.
I'm not a vapor, but I got to imagine, like, if you really feel the need to vape, couldn't you just go up and do it in the bathroom? I don't think, like, smoke detectors are going to pick that up.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but, like, why would you refuse to stop? If you get asked to stop, you just put it away, right? Like, that's the kind thing to do.
Yeah, you would think. Absolutely. And then Jermaine from Chicago says he likes the concept of Survivor Series, but he doesn't like the way Vince McMahon books it at all. And he says, Raw is generally a bad show that he DVRs while he enjoys SmackDown each week. Why does he slant everything toward Raw when the outcome rarely gives any boost to SmackDown? And he says, let's be real, the Universal Championship is a joke because no one has had a good run with it. And he says, in my opinion, I'm guessing Brock Lesnar, he says, he disrespects the lineage, maybe he means Vince, of his most historical belt in the company. I'll just say quickly on this, I think what you saw last night with the sweep, other than the kickoff show, which they officially confirmed for us, does not matter. Thank you, WWE. It's nice to know. Because SmackDown did win a match there, and they quickly pointed out that, yeah, it doesn't count. It doesn't matter. It was a clean sweep by Raw. It's a storyline at play with Shane that I would have seen, whether it's a heel turn or a shakeup coming, something like that. It was done for a reason. And then on the flip side, when it comes to the Universal Championship, I think we've talked about this before, Jermaine, and I know you rambled on about some other thing. I'm not trying to say that meanly, but there were some things that just were more opinion-based that maybe I can get into on a Q&A show if you want to repeat them there. But I'm not a big fan of Brock Lesnar's part-time title reigns and things like that either. But, Will, people still care about the Universal Championship. Look at how pissed off they'd get whenever it looked like Roman Reigns was going to win it.
I am not that into the Brock Lesnar title reigns. I think they've more than served their purpose, and that we should be past it. We've seen that we should be past it. We've experienced it over and over again, and I have to admit I find them exhausting. Like, I find all of the Brock Lesnar title stuff exhausting at this point, when you know you're not going to get it defended as often as the other championships in WWE, and that's going to be somehow completely justified by them. So I think I'm with the emailer more on that, where I go, yeah, it makes me not care about the title until Brock loses it, and then I'll care again.
Now, Lance asks, and Lance, you're going to have to let me know, he originally wanted this for Q&A. I think he gave his blessing for me to ask it on this show. He says he normally just catches Q&A and .NET Weekly. So I may be answering this question again for Lance on the show, but I definitely want, it was something that I forgot to mention. when I was reviewing Takeover, another audio show, the Takeover review that was available for members, along with the .NET Weekly audio show. I may not have mentioned that, but Jake Burnett and I get together every Thursday, except for this Thursday because it's Thanksgiving, where I think we're going to do something Wednesday, and discuss all the news of the week on the .NET Weekly audio show. Again, pwmembership.net is the place to go. But Lance wants to know our thoughts on Velveteen Dream. Where do we slot him on the main roster, and do we feel he has the potential to headline WrestleMania? I know we've talked in the past, and I can't pretend to remember exactly what you felt about it. I know my thought was, he still needs a little more seasoning in NXT, a little more polish. I don't remember, again, Will, if you felt that way, but where do you stand on him? It's been a while since we've talked about Velveteen, so if you were in the same boat, has anything changed since then?
He's not a guy I would take out of NXT right now. I think there's a story to tell of him coming back after losing the title match and being important again. I think fans are behind him, and he's worth having on that NXT roster, as loaded as the NXT roster is, because there's not a ton of upward mobility on the main roster. I'd probably slot him in the Intercontinental Championship picture, and I could see him there for 5-10 years. I could see it taking that long for him to break through to the top, simply because as more and more wrestlers get called up to the main roster, despite them being main eventers in NXT, they have to get slotted lower, because the main roster is not shedding main eventers as quick as NXT is shipping them out. And that's true of just about every part of NXT. There aren't enough wrestlers leaving or retiring. I mean, maybe we'll get lucky this year and that we won't have a 45-minute Triple H match at WrestleMania. And maybe we don't have Undertaker come back again this year. So we do actually get a couple more wrestlers in signature important singles matches at WrestleMania. But man, it's real tough to see how more wrestlers are going to help anything in WWE and NXT.
My guess is we're getting the last ride this year, that it's going to be advertised as Taker's final match, but that's just me speculating as much as anything. And with Drew McIntyre dropping that line about how he doesn't want nostalgics around, I wonder if that's where it's going, as Drew McIntyre is Undertaker's final opponent, but we'll see. With Dream, yeah, for me, I do think the game continues to improve. His in-ring performance and everything, I think he has the character down. I think he is main roster ready from what we see. I think Triple H always talks about him being only 23 years old, and it is amazing when you think about how good this guy is at that age. They also have a better feel for, okay, what's he like behind the scenes? You know, is he a mature 23? Is he ready for the main roster, or could that be something that keeps him? And I don't know. But I do think, you know, based on what we see, yeah, he's ready. But you're right, Will. They call people up. We haven't had one of those Black Fridays where they release a bunch of people or anything like that in quite some time. They're just collecting talent. I mean, they're about to sign another wave of talent again heading into the new year, and who knows what's going to happen with Cody and the Bucks. I mean, I suspect it's David Tony Khan related. I almost said David Khan, the old Timberwolves general manager, who was horrible at his job, even though I don't watch basketball, and I know that guy was terrible at his job. Whatever the Bucks and Cody end up doing, WWE could be part of that. I think they're kind of downplaying that possibility now, but still, there's going to be more wrestlers added. I know there's a report out there of Silas Young being somebody that is going to WWE, so they're just collecting talent and not really getting rid of anyone on the main roster, so it does create kind of a log jam. And so when they call people up, you get excited about it, and then they don't always make good with those talents. See Andrade Almas, the Revival. I mean, there's just a long list of some of it is just Vince McMahon not getting it with the talents. He doesn't see them the same way that Paul Levesque and his team did in NXT. And some of it, I think, is what you're talking about, too, where it's just that there is that log jam. So I will add that the question I asked Triple H, Paul Levesque, in his conference call prior to TakeOver was about, you know, he always talks about how NXT isn't just developmental. It's a third brand. And so I wanted to know, all right, does that mean that we could start to see some NXT mainstays where they don't just graduate. And the goal isn't just to send everybody up to the main roster. And I'm not, you know, I think there's always going to be some good hand types where realistically they're probably not going to the main roster, but they're going to be in NXT. But could we actually see some main event level players? And the guy I had in mind when I asked the question was actually Johnny Gargano, because I fear what Vince McMahon would do with him on the main roster. Maybe he'd do wonderful things. We don't know. But he's done so well in NXT. And if he's just going to go to SmackDown and kind of play a role similar to what Ty Dillinger has, no thank you. So, and he did say that if it is possible that they start keeping some of these acts, they become NXT mainstays. He once again brought up the possibility of bringing some talent down. The obvious issue is going to be how they pay those talents, because it's more lucrative, obviously, to work on the main roster. But I think WWE, with their television deals, can certainly afford to make that up if they want to really dive in deep with NXT. And hey, hopefully one of these days, I'd say hopefully, fearing that Vince and Kevin Dunn would become more involved, but I don't see why you wouldn't be shopping the NXT television series, Will, to Fox. I mean, they have FS1. It's a nice hook for the network, but if they can get a nice programming fee, it's not going to be similar to Raw and SmackDown to start with, but who knows what it could evolve into somewhere down the road, Will. Do you think that's a possibility someday?
I think it definitely is, unless they see keeping kind of that brand on the network as key to them driving people to the network. Right now, I would say the biggest benefit of the network is pay-per-views, and the second biggest benefit is the NXT shows, which, I mean, you can also get as a Hulu subscriber, aside from TakeOver, but I could totally see WWE kind of pushing people closer to or pushing people to go to FS1 or do something like that, especially with more presence on broadcast TV, which they're going to get. What did you think of the TakeOver show on Saturday night?
Really enjoyed it. That was going to be my question for you to close things out here today. I thought War Games went, I know this is an unpopular opinion, it went on a little longer than I needed it to. I still enjoyed it. There was a really good work in there. I love the two men's singles matches. I was disappointed in the best of three falls match, because it felt like a main roster best of three falls match where it's just, well, here's the same time we'd give you and now cram three falls in. But I know Hunter said afterward they were, you know, introducing to some extent Marina Shafir, Jessamine Duke, and even Io Shirai and Dakota Kai. So I guess it served its purpose in that way. But I love the two singles matches with Aleister Black and Gargano, and then the NXT title match with Tommaso Ciampa and Velveteen Dream. I thought those were great. How about you?
I didn't really enjoy the War Games match. As I watch, I still go, oh, you don't get War Games. Like, you don't get what made this work, despite the fact that it's a deeply formulaic thing. The heels will always have the advantage. I see them again as, you know, they get to the end of the match, just bring in a bunch of weapons for no real reason. And I feel like it makes the match more dangerous for the talent and also just cluttered. And it's a level of spot fest the match doesn't need. And you could save a lot of that because NXT doesn't do a ton of big table spots. They don't do a ton of big, you know, they don't do a ton of big chair stunts. Like they're usually really restrained. So it's weird to see them put the whipped cream, the cherry, the nuts, the hot fun. You know, it's weird to see them try and make War Games the entire Sunday and not, you know, the wonderful scoop of ice cream that it can be. I was underwhelmed by the first couple of matches. You know, the Matt Riddle thing was fine for what it was. I thought the women's match was really poor, and I continue to go, oh, why do we only have one women's match on every TakeOver show for the last 2.5 years? How is that a thing? But you're right. Those two singles matches, again, were coming out of a TakeOver saying Gargano and Ciampa were great. Those two singles matches featuring those two were really good. I like Johnny Gargano a lot. I think he's getting a little too overindulgent in the, like, pained facial expression department.
Interesting.
But it works. Dramatically, it works in his matches. Like, it's one of those things that where I keep going, okay, you've got to, like, break out of this and have a, have like a regular match, right? Not one where all of your emotion is on the line.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be interesting to follow. I mean, I'm enjoying the story of him kind of becoming the thing that he hates in Ciampa, and I'm curious to see where it goes. The War Games, it's like they watch. I mean, Hunter obviously is he said he's a fan of it. He certainly goes back to those the early War Games that were so good. But it's almost like someone snuck in one of those lethal lockdown matches that TNA does, their version of War Games, where the cage lowers and there's all these weapons attached. I'm not a fan of that either. I mean, I talked about this a little bit in my audio review. It's hard to find too much fault when the fans are reacting as favorably as they are to the table spots and things like that. And even the big dive, like Ricochet is an amazing athlete and watching the big flip, I mean, just an incredible move. But I don't know. It's not only that match. I guess I've seen my fill of wrestlers all gathering around and huddling up, all facing just the right way to brace somebody's fall. I think I'm in the minority on that too, Will, because again, it gets great reactions when people see these big dives. It just takes me out of the moment. Feels a little too contrived.
Well, yeah, and Io Shirai did it better on the same show.
Yes.
Like that, I show me a prettier move than that moonsault that she hit on that takeover show. I don't know that one exists. So
no,
I look at that and go, I just look at that and go, okay, sorry, Ricochet, you got played. I don't think you need. I think War Games as a formulaic match is fine. You don't need to throw all of that on top of it. And I would say, why not have a little bit of restraint? You can do the big Ricochet dive, but maybe not the 20 table spots. And you're going to have a fine, cohesive show, and maybe cut 20 minutes out of that War Games match, for the love of God.
And fine, use that space for another women's match, you're saying?
I mean, that could work. There's how much talent is there on that NXT women's roster? Like, that roster is stacked before you even get to all the women that are being brought in post-Mae Young Classic, including Io Shirai.
Exactly.
I feel like there are some things they could do, like maybe have, this is going to be sound revolutionary, but find a bunch of women, pair them in twos, and have them fight in like these weird two-on-two matches that ultimately get you to two teams of women fighting, say, for some belts that look kind of nice, that match. Like, I think NXT could have women's tag champs all on its own, and then I'd also put a set on the main roster and maybe some mid-card titles and maybe try to actually be equal. But that's just my eternal soapbox.
I love it. On that note, everybody, Will needed to be out at the top of the hour, and hey, it's 2 minutes after, so he was very generous with his time. Thank you to Will. Follow him at ProWrestling.net as far as his work is concerned. He's been a little bit behind. We're cutting him some slack. He kind of had that big addition to his world with the birth of his daughter, who is beautiful. I was lucky enough to see a couple of pictures, and wow, what a we're talking Gerber baby pretty. And also follow Will on Twitter at It's Will Time. At It's Will Time. He got rid of that awful other address. It was fine, but there's nothing better than at It's Will Time. Follow me and the brand at Pro Wrestling Net. And a big happy Thanksgiving to everybody who is going to be celebrating the holiday on Thursday. Yes, I am looking forward to the usual turkey stuffing, mashed potatoes and gravy, green bean casserole with the crunchy stuff on top. Normally I'd cuss, but since we're on the live show, I'll behave myself. The cranberries, the multiple pies. It's just a day of indulgence and football. And you got to work in a little time to be thankful. Count your blessings in that. And so, yeah, everyone, enjoy it. It's going to be fun. Unless you don't like eating or football or being thankful. And then I guess you just don't celebrate the day. But I will be. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm also looking forward to our return again the day after WWE TLC. We will be live on December, let's see, that would be the 17th, the Monday after WWE TLC, one more ProWrestling.net live show. And again, everybody, if you're enjoying our free audio content, there is so much more available to you once you sign up for membership. PWMembership.net is the place to go. And hey, you can also check out The Boom, PWBoom.com. New shows dropping weekly. interviews, discussion, all sorts of things, and an introduction from Paul Allen, the voice of the Minnesota Vikings. I'm so lucky to get that, and I'm grateful. I'm thankful for Paul Allen taking a moment out of his day to hook me up with that cool introduction. He is really the radio voice of the Minnesota Vikings. You probably heard him on NFL Network if you're a fan. And so check out the show, if not for nothing else, just to hear that. I know Jake Barnett's daughter likes the show, according to Jake's wife, and she thinks it's because of Paul Allen. It has nothing to do with me. I can't blame her. Great intro. Thank you, Paul. And thank you, everybody, again. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we will do this again the day after TLC. Until then, take care.